Praise the Lord. Good morning. So in 1 John, I believe it's 4:15. Let me make sure I got the right one. Yeah, 4:15. It says this. Oops, I went to the wrong verse. Hang on. Hold on. I had it. It says this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I love that. When we believe in Christ, when we confess him as our Lord and Savior, he abides in us. He lives in us. But guess what? It's not only that. We live in him. It says that we live and move and have our being in him. So this morning, would you stand with me? We're just going to take a couple moments. We're just going to think about that. We're going to let our hearts marinate on that idea that God is in us and we are in God. Even though it doesn't make sense in our natural minds how he can be in us and we be in him, by faith we believe that. And when we receive that truth into our hearts, that evidence starts to come alive of him being in us by how we live, by how our behavior changes, how we think differently. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you have allowed us to have the God of all creation live in us, that you abide in us. That means to have a house in us, Lord. We are your habitation. But Lord, not only that, Lord, we abide. We live in you. So Lord, I pray that as we enter into this time of worship, God, that reality, that truth, Lord, that we are not separated from you by some huge expanse, and we just connect with you a little bit on Sunday when we worship and when we pray and when we read the word, Lord, but you live in us and we live in you all the time. Lord, let that truth, let that reality fill our hearts, Lord, and let worship, true worship, truthful worship, Lord, come forth because of it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Open, and we are.
I was sitting there and just letting that song come into my spirit and me lift it back up to the Lord. That part about the lies is really huge in the body of Christ. We are we are deceived by those lies. And what ends up happening is that because of those lies, we don't get to become who God wants us to be. We start believing things that aren't true. The enemy tells us things that the way that God thinks about us, or the way that we have done things in the past, and how that disqualifies us from his love. Can you go to that bridge? There's no shadow you won't light up. The enemy likes to hide in the shadows. Sometimes we create the shadows in our lives by not coming to God, not exposing ourselves to God, and those shadows stay in places where he can hide and then lie to us. No mountain you won't climb up. Sometimes when we're even on the mountaintops, we're believing lies. And we're being set up for something to happen in our lives that we're gonna fall and stumble. So sometimes he has to climb up to even our mountains and help us realize the truth. But this is the part, there's no wall he won't kick down, no lie he won't tear down. No wall you won't kick down, Lord, no lie you won't tear down. Right now, Lord, I just lift up every heart in every life here, Lord, that the lies that the enemy has told them, the lies that maybe they've heard from pulpits, Lord, the lies that they've heard on audio, the lies that they've heard on songs, Lord, the lies that they've told themselves because of the way that life has dealt them certain things. God, I pray that your truth, you are the truth, would reign supreme in our hearts, that no lies of the enemy would stand. Lord, as I prayed years ago, Lord, I pray that we would receive your truth and nothing but the truth. That the truth of God would but be to reign in our hearts and our minds here today. Yes, Lord, let your truth be established in us in a new way today, Jesus. Let's sing that part again. Thank you.
Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. don't deserve it, but still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh,
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." All of the creation, God spoke into existence. So let there be, there was. But with man, he got down in the dirt, so to speak. He formed and fashioned him. However that happened, supernaturally, hard to explain. But the key is that he breathed the breath of life into us. And so when we sing that song, "It's your breath in my lungs," that's what it's talking about. That God breathed his breath into us and gave us life. When we breathe, every time we take a breath, we should remember God, because he's the one who gave us breath. He's the one who gave us life. He's the one who keeps our heart beating. Amen. Let's do that one more time. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise.
Center of our beings, Lord.
Great are you.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Great are
you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't the Lord good? Sometimes it takes coming into his presence with family of faith believers to help us get back into track and realize that he is a good, good Father, and that he loves us, and he's given all things to us that pertain to our life and our godliness in him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, team. That was awesome worship. I want to thank, as you guys are excused, to go get your coffee and fellowship a little bit, hug on each other. I want to thank Lexi for making those. Those are homemade, right? Oh, my goodness. Those homemade treats out there, enjoy them. If you get a chance, thank Lexi for them. And we'll see you in a few. God bless. All right. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and do our declarations over the Yakima Valley. After we get done doing the declarations, I'm going to speak blessings over our Yakima Valley, speak life. And I believe that as we declare with our voices the blessings of God over our valley, that things will change. And there's power. How many know there's power in our spoken tongue? But there's also power in the blessings. In one part, I think it's in Peter, and it says that we've been given the ability to bless, and that is the will of God for us, that we bless. And so let's stand. Let's say this nice and loud. On three, One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, we just speak blessing, God, over the Yakima Valley. God, we speak blessing over every city council, Lord, every manager of every city, Lord, in the Yakima Valley, God. We speak over all the mayors, God, in the Yakima Valley. We speak blessing and wisdom over them right now, Lord. We speak blessing, God, over all the schools of the Yakima Valley, Lord, that they would be places of blessing, Lord, that lives would be touched, Lord, by your presence and by your love. Lord, we speak blessing over all the businesses of the Yakima Valley, God, that you would bless them richly, Lord, that you would allow them, for those that don't know you, to receive your grace into their lives, Lord. We pray for those who are yours, Lord, that they would leave businesses, Lord, that bring you glory, Lord, that they would conduct themselves in such a way that the kingdom of God would be blessed, Lord. We bless, Lord, all families and all homes right now in Jesus' name, Lord. We speak life, Lord, over those families. Speak life over those homes. Life over their marriages, God. Life over the family situations with the parents and the children, Lord, that you would allow order and discipline, and Lord, your plan and purposes for those families to be fulfilled, God. Lord, we speak blessing, God, over every school, Lord, every teacher, Lord, every principal, God. We speak over every student, God. We pray, God, that you would allow them to be drawn towards you, Lord. Lord, that their hearts, God, would be captivated by God. Lord, we speak life over the entire Yakima Valley right now in Jesus' name. We just pray, God, that the darkness that's tried to overcome, Lord, that your light, the brightness of your light, Lord, we speak the brightness of your light over this valley to overcome the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we just got a couple announcements. The second Saturday of the month, which I believe that's going to be the 9th this month, is men's breakfast. So I encourage you, we'll be meeting downstairs, and we have a good meal planned. And then there's a word that so you get fed in your natural man and fed in your spiritual man. So please join us for that. And then also, I want to thank everyone for giving to the house. You can give on onelifefamilyworship.com. Click give, or you can give up front, and you can give in the back. Added a place where you can actually grab one of the little offering envelopes to the side. So those are back there. And just thank everybody for being faithful in your giving, your tithing, your offerings to the house. It's such a blessing that to know that the Lord takes care of us. And he is the one who ultimately is the one that you're giving to when you give. Amen? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. We're right now going to have Pastor Eric come and bring the word. Praise the Lord. Let's give it up for him.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, just have to say publicly how happy I am just to have children that worship. You know, they don't care whether I give them recognition or not, because this is just their norm. But as I was sitting up there on the cajon drum this morning, I was just looking out at my two oldest and just thinking, wow, like there's not a lot I can give my kids, you know. But I feel like one thing Nancy and I have done well, not to toot our own horn, but one thing we've done well is we've given them a solid foundation. And so I'm so glad about that. But anyhow, it's nothing what I'm speaking on this morning. But the last few weeks, Pastor's been going through a series, if you will. Is it One Heart, One Soul, One Life? Okay. One heart, one soul, one life at a time. And for those of you who don't know, all of our messages are on YouTube as well as our website. And so if you ever want to go back and watch it or listen to it, you can. And he you know, he's just kind of covering like the direction in which our church is going and give some practicals. And so I wanted to stay a little bit on that theme. And today my message is called One Friend at a Time. And just giving some practicals of what it looks like to be a good friend. In our youth ministry, we're in a relationship series. And this is one of, I think, my favorite. I think their favorite as well, just because I think that in young people especially, that's their lives. Their lives are relationships, whether it be, you know, friends, best friends, girlfriends, boyfriends. Like, it's just the world that they're in. And so whenever Nancy and I take time to talk about relationships, it feels like, you know, we get the most attention out of them. And so we spent some time a few weeks ago talking about friendship and talking about what it looks like to be a friend. And you know, to youth, it makes sense to have that conversation. To adults, even as I was preparing this message, I was like, well, what do adults need to know about friends? Like, some of us don't even have friends, right? Like, our friends are our spouse and our kids. But I do think it's still important that we as adults understand the value in friendships, and I would even say community. My simple definition of community is people you do life with, people that you run with, people that you celebrate with, that you mourn with, not just people that you work with or that you are acquaintances with, but people you actually are going to do life with. And so let me just pray and then we'll get into this. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. I thank you, Lord, for the amazing worship. And I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would continue to worship you, Lord, even through this time. God, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me. Anoint my lips, God. Fill me up, Lord, with your presence. And I just thank you, Jesus, for every heart in this place. And as we learn about being a good friend, I ultimately thank you, Lord, that we get to be a friend with you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Amen. So, good friendships leave you better than when they found you. And something I've learned in adulthood especially is some friendships are for a season, and that's okay. Some friendships, some relationships are for a few years. And as time goes on, whether it be, you know, hopefully it's not through drama, but sometimes that happens. But through whatever circumstance, relationships will end, and that's okay. And I've had to learn that, especially in my adulthood. When I was younger, I struggled with that. When I was younger, I would wonder, like, well, why did this friendship have to end? In junior high, for instance, I had one of my best friends. His name was Ricky. And we hung out every day. He lived right across the street from the school we went to. So I was at his house every day. So in my mind, I'm like, man, this is like a lifelong friend. Like, we're going to die together. Like, this is that friend. And then we get into high school and everything kind of shifts and moves. And by the end of high school, me and Ricky don't talk anymore. I couldn't like make sense of it then. But again, as adulthood has hit me, I realized, oh, it's that's okay. Friendships sometimes are for a season, and I need to just be grateful for the time that I have them. And so my first point is this, is to be an intentional friend. Be an intentional friend. This word intentional, we've heard it, we've used it. It can kind of be like a buzzword, if you will. Intentionality is something that I believe is like a real core value of mine. When I do things, whether it's ministry or my marriage or my parenting or my friendships, it's with intention. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. And so I believe that true godly relationships need to be done with intention, need to be done with not just, oh, this is just willy-nilly, this is just another relationship, but actually, God has put you in my life, whether it be for a short season or a long season, but nonetheless, you're in my life right now, and I'm going to do relationship with you on purpose, right? In Proverbs 18:24, I have a lot of scripture today, but Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You should have friends or a friend who will stick with you through thick and thin. Also, we should be that friend. This is what community looks like. True community is, again, is not just people that you rub shoulders with and that you might, you know, see them from time to time. True community, true friendship in relationship is I'm here for you, and I'm gonna be that friend, not just when it's good. Not just when it's fun, not just when we're going on vacation together or we're having, you know, going out for coffee or we're hanging out for dinner, but when you're in the thick of it, when you have a family member that dies and you don't know what to do, or you're struggling financially and you don't know what to do, or, you know, you and your spouse are having struggles and you don't know what to do, like that's like true community. I remember there was this time when I just graduated high school and I was going through a really rough time. And you know, it was the summer or the fall right after high school. And I had stayed local, you know, went to YVC and was here. And a lot of my friends from high school, the few friends that I did have, went to college and they were gone. I was going this really rough time, and I remember I couldn't sleep, and this is before I knew the Lord or anything like that, but I just knew, like, I need to talk to a friend, someone that could understand me. It's like 2 a.m, right? And so I call up my friend. Her name's Edrea, and this was a close friend of mine that, you know, we did high school together. We walked together at graduation. And I think about it now, and I'm like, man, this poor girl. She's in her freshman year of college. It's 2 a.m. She's like in her first like week or two of school, and here I am calling her just to talk, right? And so I call her, and she answers, and she stays on the phone with me. She hears me out, and I think about that time. All the time when I think about like just how important community is, because that's what I needed. I didn't need her to fix my problems. She couldn't do anything. She was gone. She was off to college, but I just needed her to be a friend. But that's what a good friend is. And so we need friends that will stick with us through the thick and thin, but we also need to be that friend. Proverbs 17:17 says this: a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Adversity, simply put, is difficulties, misfortune. Just like I was saying previously, adversity is the tough times, the not so fun times, the awkward times, if you will. And you really find who your real friends are, and I would also say what kind of friends you are when adversity hits. I had a friend of mine who went through some really, really difficult stuff a few years ago. Long story short, she's from the UK, and the job she was working messed up her papers. And this was at the height of, you know, the political temperature, if you will, was really high, and so anything immigration was at the height, right? And she's been here. She at this time had been here for like 10 years working, but her department, the person that was supposed to deal, you know, get her paperwork all and get her visa situated, and whatnot, messed it up, and so she now was here, but was like here basically illegally, but she was trying to get everything worked out because her life was here now, right? She was doing everything here. Anyhow, she was going through this really rough time, and she couldn't work. She was broke, like was trying to just, she was just going through it, right? In the midst of like, do I stay and get deported and then I can't even come back for 10 years? Do I go back home but then potentially can't come back to where essentially my home is? And anyhow, through this, I believe she found out who her real friends were, because she had friends that drew close to her through this really difficult time. None of us can do anything about it, right? Like, I can't change what the immigration office is going to do about your paperwork. I can't do anything. But what I can do is I can come close and be support, be an ear for her to process you, pray for her. But unfortunately, what she found as well is that her circumstance was too heavy for some people. And there were some people that literally told her, this is too much, and I don't know what to do with you or your situation. And we're talking about friends that were with her for a long time. But this is what a brother. What does it say? It says a brother is born for adversity. Like true community is going to draw near to you. Is going to pull you in during those hard times. Not so they can fix everything. Not so they could because they have all the answers. But that's just what community is. That's what a friend is. Good friends love even when it's inconvenient. You know, we don't like to say it that way. We don't like to say, oh, my, you know, being in a relationship or being friends or being, you know, whatever, loving this person is inconvenient. We wouldn't say it that way because it just sounds mean. But the reality of it is that my kids and my wife, for example, I tell my wife this all the time. You're the only person that I give permission to freely inconvenience in my life, okay? Because I want her to know that I will stop what I'm doing for you, right? Like my kids, when they come to me with a need, I will stop what I'm doing for you, right? Relationship, true relationship is inconvenient. It isn't always easy. It isn't always easy to stop and say, I'm gonna give a piece of myself to you right now. Especially when I'm doing something and I'm living my life, right? But relationship can be inconvenient, and that's okay. A couple years ago, I have a good friend of mine. I'll cut to the end now and tell you he is fine. God is healing him, and he's doing great. But this would have been, I believe, 2022, around there. I get a phone call, and he's from Roseburg, Oregon, and he was driving along, and he gets T-boned, and his car is completely demolished. He gets air flown from Roseburg to Portland, and he essentially almost dies. And they didn't even know if he was going to walk again. They didn't know if he was going to be, you know, in a vegetable state. They truly didn't know. And so. I'm sitting here. My wife, I think at this time, was in Texas visiting her sister, and I think I had Skylie and Kate in here with me. And so, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, what can I truly do other than pray and show up? And so, and again, like, I'm not saying this to be like pat myself on the back, but I just knew, like, I needed to do something. Like, there's a possibility my friend might die. Like, I'm not going to get to see him. And so, he's in Portland. And so I situated the kids, and I was like, I'm just gonna drive and I'm just gonna go get to the hospital. I don't even know if I'm gonna get to see him, but I'm gonna go and I'm gonna see him. And I mean, he doesn't remember this. He was his mind was completely gone. But I just went into I did get to see him. I got into his got to stand next to his bedside and just pray for him. And it was like 20 minutes, and then I turned around and I drove back home. Like, that isn't a convenient thing to do for my life, right? Like, I don't have, you know, a ton of money just to be putting into my gas tank to drive to Portland and back in one day, right? Like, that was an inconvenient thing to do, but because of the friendship and the value I have for this person, I'm going to lay down some time with my family. I'm going to lay down some funds. I'm going to lay down a full day's travel to Oregon and back because of the love I have for my friends. Friends show up through the inconvenient. Amen? Galatians 6:28 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the love of Christ. Let me say this, good friends pray. Good friends pray. If you are a believer, this is the will of our lives that we pray, which we're going to read in a bit. Also, as a believer, it is our duty, obligation, and our pleasure to pray for our brothers and sisters. Not just for our family. Yes, pray for your family. Cover your home. Cover your marriage. Cover your children in prayer. Please do that. Also recognize that your friends need you to show up in prayer. Your friends need you to show up in prayer. So there's this moment in Acts where Peter gets thrown into prison, and it says, I'm just gonna read this part, Acts 12:5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church, right, his community, his friends, But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now, I don't think I need to tell you guys what happened next, but when the saints pray, when we lift up our burdens and our friends' burdens to God, stuff happens. And just a few verses later, miraculously, Peter's chains, it says his chains, fell off, and an angel of the Lord walked him out of prison. Why? Because the church prayed. And what's even funnier is that if you continue reading the story, is that Peter goes to the place where they are and knocks at the door, and they don't even believe that it's him, right? Like, they prayed that God would release him. They prayed that God would move in this way. But once it happens, they actually don't believe it's going to happen. But friends, pray. My second point is this: be an edifying friend. Edifying. It's not a word we use very commonly. Maybe you do, but it's not a word we throw around. But essentially, edification is the building up, right? The building up. I tell our youth students this all the time because I'm the boring adult in the room that has to correct them when they're being dumb or saying not fun things. And the thing I always come back to is I tell them this. I'm like, listen, it's okay to have joking relationships and you make fun of each other and you poke at each other. Like, I get it. I love that. Like, that's how I do relationship too. But if that's all your relationship is, and it's not equally, or there's not even any edification, there's no building up, then that becomes less fun. As a friend, we need to be asking ourselves, how am I building up the people around me? How am I actually pouring into my friends where they're better off than when I found them? How am I building them up? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this: therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were doing. So here's a question I will propose to you to ask yourself: do your friends feel better or worse when they hang out with you? When's the last time you encouraged a friend? And this is one that I think that, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but I don't feel like I am. This is one that I feel like guys struggle with the most, because it can feel weird to tell another guy, like, hey, you're doing great, right? It can feel weird to tell. Again, I go back to my youth students because they're always so like, I can't tell my guy friend he's doing great. That's, you know, that's weird, right? Like, I don't want them to think that I like them that way. And I literally tell them, like, you guys, it's not gay to tell your friends that they're doing great. The homosexual community doesn't have ownership of kindness. Okay, and I just tell, maybe you guys don't get that, but for young people, young guys especially, they're like, I can't be kind to my friend. I gotta punch him every once in a while and tell him he's being, you know, and make fun of him. It's like, yeah, you could also just love them and tell them they're doing great, and hey, great job, you did awesome, or you're doing awesome, right? And then make fun of them later. I don't know, but maybe encourage them every once in a while. Right? But when's the last time you encouraged a friend? When's the last time you just shot a text to a friend saying, hey, just thinking about you, hope you're doing well. You know, want you to know you're killing it. Want you to know you're doing a great job. I have a buddy, his name is Josh Cook. He's a pastor there in our old church, LFEC. And what I love about Josh is that he'll just text me randomly, and he'll just text me, you're doing great. And he always spells your wrong. It's always Y-O-U-R. I don't correct him, but he does it nonetheless. And he always says, you're doing great. And that's not just for no reason, right? And you know, it's just a little thing that lets me know, like, oh, he's thinking about me. And he just wants to encourage me, right? It's not a big deal. You know, I usually shouldn't, hey, thanks so much. Love you. Hope you're doing well. Let's get coffee soon, right? But you have no idea what just that little gesture as a friend, building somebody up. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be as simple as that, right? Shooting somebody a text, giving somebody a quick call, you know, just telling somebody, right? Like, you're doing great, right? Figuring out the way that you could build them up. Mark 2, there's a story that most of us know. It says this, Jesus is speaking and there's not enough room. So it says, some men came bringing to him being Jesus, a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. Then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Speaking of the chosen, Pastor brings it up quite often. This is a beautiful scene in this when they depict this the way they did it, and you see the faith of these friends and you know, a few verses later in verse 11, it actually says Jesus tells them, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." So this man, through his friend's faith, gets his healing because they were willing to go the extra mile. Who you have around you matters. The people you choose to bring around you matters. Some friends will let you lay on the mat paralyzed for the rest of your life, and some will pick you up and help you get in front of Jesus. Some friends are okay with you living in your sin. They're okay with you living in your dysfunction. They're okay with living in your broken marriage and your addiction and whatever. They're okay with that. And maybe they're not really okay with it, but they're just afraid to maybe cross the line or speak into something. But real friends will call you out because they want to build you up. Real friends will say, hey, let's get you in front of Jesus because I don't have all the answers, but he does, right? Real friends will say, hey, I'm going to call you to a higher place because I know that Jesus has more for you and he wants to see you better. And I know that if I love you enough and I want to see you better as a friend, I know for sure Jesus wants to see you better. Yeah. Amen? My third and final point is this: be a praying friend. And I kind of have alluded to it this morning a lot, but being praying friends. And you know, prayer is important, you guys. You know, I can't emphasize it enough that without prayer as a believer, without prayer in our lives on a consistent basis, we're missing an integral part to our faith journey. Without communicating to God, without lifting up our burdens, our family's burdens, the world's burdens, right? Can I just say, like, it is more important, I don't want to be dramatic, but I feel like it's more important than ever that right now the church prays, right? During an election time, it's important that our church prays. During what society and culture is making norm, it's important that we pray, right? During times of just confusion and turmoil, right? Everything that's happening in the world just scientifically, right? Like with our climate and all that, like our literal climate, like it's important that we pray. Because without prayer, we're without prayer and actually communicating with Jesus and practicing our faith in that way, we then just become a club of people that gather for a certain amount of time. And I really believe that God has something so much more for a church that prays. I really believe that God has something unique and specific when we can come together and we can lift up. This is why when we do our declarations, we don't just say it and move on. We pray. Because we're not just trying to go through the motions. We're trying to emphasize that we're going to declare this over our city. We're going to declare this over our church. And then we're going to pray. We're going to cement it and say, God, we really care about this thing. And we know that when we care about things, you care about things. We know that when our heart moves towards something, your heart moves towards something. So be a praying friend. My favorite kind of friends are the ones who I know will pray. My favorite kind of friends are the ones that I know that I can call up or I can text and just say, hey, can you be praying for me? And maybe they don't need a lot of details. They don't need a lot of answers. They just need to know that Eric needs prayer right now. And I remember it was sometime in the last year I was just feeling anxious, right? And You know, I'm not afraid to admit this at all, because I think that we need to make this normal to admit that sometimes anxiety hits, and we're not going to have all the answers of what to do, and it's okay to admit that. And I was feeling really anxious, like to the point where I almost felt like I was having a panic attack, and it was just feeling really heavy and feeling really like I don't know what to do. And in the midst of, like, I'm at home, like my wife's at work, I'm supposed to be the responsible adult at home that needs to keep it together and make sure dinner gets done and make sure, you know, like, kids don't, like, hurt themselves and each other, right? But I'm all that. You know, I'm dealing with this inner turmoil, and life is still happening around me. And so I just remember, I didn't know what to do. So I pray. I open my Bible a little bit, and I just was like, I'm gonna text every person I know that prays, and just let them know I'm feeling anxious right now. I need you to pray. I text like 20 people, not even exaggerating. I just went through the list of contacts. That person pray. I've seen that person in church once, so sure, they might pray. And I just kept, like, texting, hey, and I just give them a lot of deals. Some people ask, like, hey, what's going on? Let me know, right? But my point in saying any of this, is that we need people around us that are going to be willing to go the extra mile and pray. And not just the Christian, I'm praying for you, or I'll pray for you, or any of that, but actually people that are going to take up and not care more than you do about it, but take this burden and say, okay, I'm going to carry this, and I'm going to bring it before God, right? Because I love you, and because I want to see this thing happen, right? I want to see this breakthrough in your life happen. I want to see that healing happen. I want to see that, you know, I want to see you get that house. I want to see you get that raise. I want to see that relationship restored, and I'm going to take that thing, whatever it is, and I'm going to bring it before God. Those are the people we need around us. Years ago, in this church, not this physical church, but in our church, and Church on the Move days, actually, we had a close friend of ours that was going through a really, really hard time. And this is why I absolutely love our pastors, because our pastors know the value of prayer. We couldn't fix the situation that this particular friend was in, but what we could do is we could pray. And so we actually took a night and we said, we're going to pray. We're going to start praying, and we're going to pray all night. We're going to pray until we feel something shift. And I remember, we had two little, Skyler and Kaden were just so little, and Nancy and I were like, we're going to show up. We're going to go. We brought a little, like, mat out for our kids. Like, if they fall asleep, they fall asleep. And I don't remember how many hours we were there, but we were just in our little prayer room at the old church. And we just put on music, and we just walked around. There was a few of us in there, and we just were like, we're going to pray for this situation until something breaks. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Because the conviction that I have, and if you don't share this conviction, that's okay. But I need you to know this, that the conviction I have is that it's impossible for nothing to happen when I pray. It's impossible for nothing to happen when I pray. That doesn't mean that when I pray for the healing, tomorrow I'm going to see the healing. That happens. It does. I believe that can happen. What I'm saying, though, is that when I'm lifting up my cares to God, something's happening in the spirit that I don't know. I don't know. And something's moving. And it may happen tomorrow. It may happen a week from now. It may happen a year from now. But let's just read the verse, and we can continue on. Verse Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. I don't stop praying because I didn't see it the next day. I don't stop praying because I haven't seen it in a week. I haven't seen it in a year. I haven't seen it in 10 years. No, if I believe that God wants to move this mountain, I'm going to pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you have ever questioned, what is the will of God for my life? 1 Thessalonians gives you the answer. This is the will. It may not be the answer that you're looking for, because you're looking for a more practical, well, no, I want to know, am I supposed to be a doctor? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to move here? Rejoice always. pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is the will for a life of a believer. If you've said yes to Jesus, it is the will for you to pray. If you don't pray for your friends, start. Make a decision today that you're not just going to sit on the sidelines and watch your friends' lives blow up or watch your friends' lives go down the drain, but actually come alongside them, and it doesn't have to be weird. You don't even have to let them know. You can if you want to, but just lift up your friends in prayer. Let's be a church that prays for their friends. And if you do pray for your friends, keep doing it, and maybe increase it. If you take a second, you just have a little sliver of time that you pray for your friends already. Great, that's awesome. Let's continue praying. Let's continue believing. You know the story I was just telling a moment ago. You know, the outcome that I think we were all hoping for wasn't the outcome we saw. And I don't blame God for that at all, because we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where we have free will. But I will say this, that the friend that we were coming alongside and praying now, I would say lives a better life than they already were, right? Is thriving in life. And so I could look at that night and be like, wow, what a waste of time. We didn't actually see the thing happen that we were contending for. Or I could believe the conviction I have in my heart that something's happening and that God still used this really bad circumstance for this individual and changed it for good. And now their life is better than it was before. Prayer is important. So I'm going to pray right now. And if you guys would just agree with me as we lift up our burdens to God, and as we pray for the rest of the day, that we would be individuals that are going to say yes to praying for our friends, and being ones that are going to come alongside, not just the good times but also the hard times. So God, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for your presence. We thank you so much for the friendships and relationships that you've placed in our lives. And God, I just pray that you would stir up our hearts this morning, God. You would stir up our hearts today to be ones that are going to say yes to you, yes to the people around us. God, I thank you, Lord, for the relationships, God, that you've put in each of our lives, God. Whether they're there for forever, or whether they're there for just a short season, God, that you would still give us the unction in our hearts, God, to want to be people that build up, people that lift up, God, one friend at a time. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, just for your glorious work in our lives, God. We thank you, Father, that you've sent people to pray for us. We thank you, Father, that you've sent people to pray for us that we didn't even know were praying for us. We thank you, Father, that you sent people to lift us up on high, God. Lift up our burdens, lift up our chaos, God. When we were down in the dirt, God, you had people around us that were praying to you on our behalf. And I just thank you so much, God. I'm grateful. I'm grateful, Lord, for the people that you put in my life. Lord, the friends, God, the family, God, the people you've put, Lord, in my life that are willing to take the time and just lift me up in prayer. This morning, God, I pray that you would put people in our hearts, God. People that need just a touch from heaven. This morning, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just stir us up to be a good friend, to be a praying friend, to be a holy friend, to be a friend that lifts up, God. And I just thank you so much, Jesus, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Out of praise to you. I just lift up, Lord, relationships in this place, God, as we continue to contend, God, for those around us, Lord, for those that just need an extra touch from heaven, that need breakthrough in their lives, God. I pray, God, that we would be those that can come alongside and believe, Lord. We would fill in the gap, God, especially for those who don't have the faith to continue moving forward, God, that we would be... We would be that friend that comes alongside and links arms with individuals around us, God. God, I just thank you, Jesus, for this house. I thank you for this community. And I just pray, God, as we go throughout our day, as we go throughout our week, God, that you would give us opportunity, Lord, to put these things into practice. And we just thank you, Jesus, that ultimately, Lord, you model friendship to us, God. That you, what a friend we have in you, Father God. What a friend we have in you, Jesus. And we just thank you, Jesus, for all these things. In your holy, holy name, everyone said, amen. Have a great Sunday, you guys.